The Big Wedding Planning Podcast.
Just two wedding planners tearing it up. Listen, learn, plan that wedding. Podcast, a show for anyone involved in planning a wedding. We want you to learn something valuable and be entertained at the same time. My name is Michelle Martinez.
And I'm Christine Matthews. Hello. Welcome. Thank you for joining us.
Hey, glad you're here. I think I hear that Santa's coming to town.
Santa?
Yeah.
Santa, yeah. I know him.
Yeah. I'm a little concerned though, because the house that we live in now, it does technically have a chimney, but it's in a, you know, one of those gas fireplaces. So I'm not sure what kind of chimney that is. So I just might leave the back door unlocked.
Yeah. Leave the back door unlocked on Christmas Eve, like you always do.
I actually never do because I'm super paranoid. You know, every time before we go to bed, I do a lock check on all the entry points. I turn on all my outside lights and I go to sleep.
I'm the only person in our house that knows that doors have locks or that they even like click into place. I cannot tell you the number of times I walk downstairs night, middle of the morning, anytime. And the front door is just a little bit open, like actual, like
there's, oh my God.
And I'm like, who? Well, it's the same thing with our TVs being on, even when people leave the room, the men that I live with, but the doors, you would think the adults would be a little bit more like close, lock. No, we live in a,
we live in a world where no one land.
Yeah. Everybody's door is wide open, literally wide open.
I'm just convinced someone really wants to get me.
Well, I'm in my childhood bedroom right now. That's why my sound might be a little bit off than it normally is. But
oh yeah, you went to Texas for a visit.
It's Christmas time. So this episode comes out very soon and it's almost in real time. I'm here in Texas visiting and the Wi-Fi is a little touch and go. The rooms are a little drafty, you know, all the things about your parents' house when you go back home.
Do you have any traditions that you do at Christmas time with either the kids or yourself or your family?
Shit, I need to text my mom to move that elf.
There you go. It's the elf.
We do him, but only my youngest is still into it, but I definitely left him in the same place.
I never got on the elf on the shelf train. I feel like that's something that's relatively new I know it's not new, but it wasn't around when I was a kid.
Not when we were kids. And then I think it was very, very new when Joey was born.
Yeah.
So that'd be like 12 years ago.
But they make it look vintage.
Yeah. And it just got like progressively more obsessed. People got more and more obsessed with it. It was a book and like a cute little gift. Like I remember my father-in-law is the one who gave us the book. It's a book set with the little elf. And it was like Barnes and Noble front and center all of November. So a lot of people got it as a gift, but then since then moms have like gone crazy with these elf setups. I barely remember to like move it on time, as you can see, but people are putting like wires in there so that they can like shape the elf and there's outfits, there's like kits you can buy now for accessories for the elf. They do it to where they do all these like elaborate setups every day for the kids. I don't know. It's a lot.
Looks here like it started in 2005, according to Google. Okay. So this episode is a fan favorite. It is the holidays. And historically we've noticed that, well, not a lot of people have time to listen to a podcast in the holidays. So if by chance you're listening, we want to say happy holidays and we hope that you're safe and that you're healthy. And so are the people that you love and care about. And we also want to let you know that next week's You Ask, We Answer is going to be a special one because there will be a big, huge, I'm talking big, okay, announcement. It's gonna earth blow shatter. Your socks off. It's gonna shake you up a little bit. But it
also is still a current brand new Yawa next week too. So we're not like repeating anything next week and adding the announcement. It's all new next week.
Okay. So we are gonna repeat one of the fan favorites. It's very highly downloaded. If you've been, you know, binging the pod, you might have already listened to it, but if not, you're going to like it. This is number 94. This is before we got into the hundreds. So we're talking years ago. Number 94, 10-ish, because we wanted to keep it to 10, but we couldn't because we just came up with more. 10-ish things wedding planners want their clients to know. I think this was probably a fan fave because you and I were very passionate about this subject because, you know, we're wedding planners. Well, yes, we're wedding planners. So, and podcasters. So it was easy for us. And I remember, Christy, you and I, this is back in the day when we didn't have as many guests and interviews. So we would always be like, okay, so what are we going to talk about this week? And when we came up with this idea, we're like, oh my God. Yes. Like it just flowed like as if we just, you know, opened the faucet full force and there was a nice steady flow, right? It was as if you had to pee really, really bad and you finally found a restroom and it just, you're like, let's get this all out. That's the way it flowed.
That's what a relief.
It was.
it was good at the time and it was easy for us to come up with stuff. And as I was reviewing it for this opening, it all holds up.
Yeah.
I would still give this advice. And also I like that we kind of prefaced it in the episode that we would not have necessarily done an episode like this within our first like catalog or our first season. We never did seasons, but like it took us 90 episodes to get to this topic because it does take a little bit of like trust right now. Like,
yeah.
We're being pretty honest about some of the stuff that irks us about clients, but also giving really good advice from our perspective on how to have like the best planner client relationship. So I don't know that we would have had the confidence to be as forthcoming when we first started.
Yeah.
We know that ship has sailed by now, but I liked the fact that we kind of included that bit. Yeah. Circle of trust.
Totes. All right. Well, happy holidays, everybody. We love you. We appreciate you. And we hope you enjoy this kind of rewind or repeat of episode number 94.
I'm feeling extra, you know, like I just want to give today. I just want to give myself away.
I think we're both like kind of fired up today. And I think it's because we have the type of personalities that when we're extremely busy, you get in that mode where it's like, my sass is turned up. I'm ready to go. Gotta I'm checking things done. Off my to-do list. I have this amount of time for this, this amount of time for this. Let's just fucking roll.
Let's just roll.
Let's roll. Like we have to. We have to just keep on going.
Keep on trucking.
Let's go.
It's wedding season and you just had a bomb dropped on you. So
yes, I have,
you know,
the many things, the life things to deal with right now. And it's all good things. But
nothing bad.
I feel like for podcasting is one of those mediums where we can, our listeners have no idea if one of us is like in Budapest, you know, or one of us is in rehab for 6 months and we're just like tooling away on the podcast. Like you don't know, but most of you know that Michelle is in California and I'm in Texas and we have never missed a Wednesday drop. Not a single time. We've only had one repeat episode in our entire almost 100 episodes of doing this.
I know.
So it's a testament to like, no matter what's going on in our lives, we manage sometimes by the skin of our teeth.
Literally.
To get an episode out. But just a little, you know, FYI for all of you, like I am in the process of relocating.
Again.
And I've been here for 3 years. I love it here. My family's here. We are going to be moving out of the state and we're going to be, so I have to sell a house. I have to buy a house. I have to
rent a house.
Rent a house. There's a lot of things in the next like 5 weeks that I have to do, but plopping down in my closet and looking at your smiling face is one of the things to do. So that's what we're doing. And we'll keep you updated on everything. But you know what they say, if you want something done, give it to a busy mom to do.
A busy mom and a wedding planner. So
yeah, just like,
holy shit.
Oh, I need to do the impossible in 5 weeks. Okay, let me start a list. Let me start a goddamn master checklist. Again.
Another list. Another one.
Yes. So that is what we're doing. And I'm excited about today's episode because I think it suits this idea of like, let's go, let's get it out there.
Yeah.
But I wanted to preface it with, I don't think we would have done this episode and this topic, which you can see if you're listening to it. We have a list, Michelle and I, we've compiled our own individual lists of like things we wish clients knew or did differently when working with a wedding planner. So we're giving it to you from our perspective. And I was thinking that we wouldn't have done this at the beginning of the podcast because it's a little bit like circle of trust a little bit, because we're not interviewing somebody else and getting their opinions. We're giving you our opinions about this wedding planner couple relationship that we have. You know,
you and me as a couple or with our couples.
Yes. With our couple. Like it's you, the clients, and us, the planner, and we're giving you like the inside track a little bit on this one of like, okay, this is what planners really think when you XYZ, or this is what planners really, it really bothers us when you do this, or it really makes it awesome when you do this. So it's like some real honesty, I feel like, coming from us. We're opening up a little bit more in this one than we do in others where we try to keep like a professional diplomacy.
Do we really?
I mean, we don't just like tell people to like stop being fucking annoying and crazy.
No.
We try to like package it a little better.
We're polite about
it.
We're polite. Yeah, I speak so now to others the way I would want to be spoken to. That's just the way I live my life. Period.
So now we're trying to like.
But we're telling you what we really think on this one because...
Yes, we're being honest.
And you know what? Actually, lately, we've been getting like our iTunes reviews. We've gotten a couple emails from people who are like, I've got a planner.
Yeah.
But...
they're not as awesome as you are. What's the deal?
Yeah. Or the communication, like I'm hearing that the communication isn't there. So,
yeah.
So this is a really good topic that I think is really relevant to even if you're listening to this now and you're in the middle of wedding planning or your wedding's next weekend or you're going to be hiring a planner, like this is going, or you don't hire a planner, but you got a month of, you better at least have a month of, these are good tips. These are good tips. Just the tip.
It's a little bit like behind the curtain stuff. So with you guys reaching out more and telling us more about your own weddings and asking us questions and your own experiences, we definitely compile what you're telling us or what we're hearing is a concern. And then that goes into an episode. Yeah. So we'll even if we don't answer your email right away and we've always answered at least within a couple of days, but know that we're keeping track of like, oh, 6 or 7 people have kind of mentioned this thing, or like we're getting a bunch of emails about this, that must mean we can dig in a little bit and it'll be useful to people. So please keep sending us stuff.
And also send us or call us on the phone number, leave us a voicemail like Hannah did. Did you guys like that last week? I loved hearing a listener's voice on the show, asking her question in her voice, you know, like, I loved that. So you guys call the number, what is it? 415-723-1625. Leave a voicemail with your question. And we'll put it on the show. If it's good, I'm sure it'll be good. 'Cause you're all awesome. Okay. All right. So great. Top, You said five, top.
I did five, yeah.
All right, I just like,
and so,
all right, go ahead.
We don't know each other, so that's the thing. These are going to kind of be all over the map.
I asked her to tell me before we recorded, and she's like, I'm not telling you.
I want you to react authentically, but we might have some things that I bet are very similar because we've been doing this long enough.
Should we do like one at a time?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, totally.
Oh, and also, yeah, okay. All right, yeah. Okay, so
it's like during, when you're trying to hire a planner, when you're working with a planner, and then on the wedding day. I have things that are kind of all over the process.
Me too. Yeah.
So in no particular order, everyone. Drum roll, please. Okay. Number one thing, well, not number one, but one of my first things is come prepared to a wedding meeting, especially if it's an initial consultation.
Oh.
I can get information. I can Google your first and last name, and I can try to find out if you're a scammer. We get a lot of inquiries that are scammers, by the way.
That's annoying.
But I can, as a wedding planner, I can be like, oh, who's this couple? I just want to know. I don't get much information on that first email usually, especially if you do it through the contact thing on my website. So this goes for if you're hiring a wedding planner, but also all your vendors. If they're taking the time to do an initial consultation with you, which is free, at least have looked at their website. Like, know as much as you can about them that they've presented, you know, to the interwebs as you can. Look them up. Come prepared to the meeting so that you can ask the right questions and so that the time is valuable for both you, the client, and the vendor that you're hiring, because a lot of this is about your little checklist and budget and are they available? Those things are pretty black and white, but it's also about vibe and connection. And if you want to work with the person, if you get a good feeling from them, you're not going to be able to look at all of those things unless you come pretty organized. So the goal is to leave a meeting feeling like you got your questions answered and you know more, not leave a meeting and be like, oh shit, I forgot to ask her about this or, you know, any confusion. So come prepared to those meetings. Most wedding vendors have a social media footprint. Follow it. Know a little bit. You know, it's like looking into a car specs before you go to the lot and talk to somebody. You want to know what you're talking about. Knowledge is power.
That's good.
Pretty good, right?
That's good. It sucks when somebody comes and they just sit there and they look at you like, okay.
Yeah, and then we're stuck asking all the questions, but it's like, it should be, you know, tit for tat. I want to know about you as a client. I want to know if we're a good fit, but you have to also ask me questions and it shouldn't be a monologue.
Yeah. Okay,
your turn.
Okay, here's mine. And this kind of coincides with a listener email I got and we got. It was for both of us, but I answered it. And I'm going to say what it is first, but then I want to read some of his email as an example.
Yes. Okay? Good. And good on groom. Look at that groom involvement.
Yes. So my biggest thing is communication. So a lot of times people, and I think some of this has to do with maybe a planner's personality, but it's so important that you keep an open line of communication, whether it's positive or negative or unsure, right? Whatever it is that you're feeling with your planner and vice versa, the planner with you. Don't be afraid to communicate what's going on in your head, to communicate what your ideas are, to communicate what your concerns are. You're not going to hurt anybody's feelings. You're not going to piss anybody off. And if you do, maybe you shouldn't be working with that person, right? So we had a listener, his name is Alvaro, and he wrote in, and he's a groom. So I'm going to read his email. I'm a groom who just got into podcasts this summer. I have a long commute and decided to give it a shot to listen to something new. So this is the first podcast that I am listening to, and I love it so far. It gives me a lot of valuable input. I am currently on episode 89. Took me a while to catch up, and I've been wanting to send you two an email for a long time. I did my research with other wedding planning podcasts, but they just don't do the trick. Please do not stop doing this. I've listened to other wedding podcasts too, Alvaro. Okay. All right, let's continue. So I wanted to give you a bit of background. My fiance is from, actually, well, we'll just say fiance is from Middle America and he is from another country. But we currently live in another Middle America. We got engaged this past March in Sevilla, Spain. Hello, how amazing is that? On a trip to Spain, we didn't go right into planning mode until May, and we hired a full service wedding planner from the area where the fiance is from and where the wedding will be. I have a couple of questions. The first one is that we don't feel that the wedding planner is helping us make decisions. We've been looking and trying to decide on a date and a venue for the last 3 to 4 weeks. And we only hear back from her every 3 to 4 days through an app. Christy, have you heard of an app called Isle Planner?
Yeah. It's similar to that platform that you used to use to keep...
Basecamp?
Yeah. It's similar to that, except it's extremely wedding oriented. A lot of planners use it. It's a way to upload templates, share emails, floor plans, checklists, all the things. So it's,
I'm gonna look into it.
It sounds like he and his fiance are plugging away and wanting to make decisions. And then she's like lagging a little bit in giving them the input they are asking for.
Right. And so what's happening is, he's asking if it's normal that they're only hearing from her every 3 to 4 days through this app. I feel that the venues will book soon. This is him talking. And every time we hear back from her, it's just to keep asking our opinion, but not much of her input. Should we approach her and ask her to help us make a decision? Personality-wise, we love her. And when we interviewed wedding planners, we knew from the start that we wanted to work with her, but we're a bit thrown off right now.
It sounds like they trust her, or at least feel like they are ready to.
Got a lot. They had a really good connection and now they're like, ugh. So, and then he goes on to talk about how his fiance takes a lot of time to make decisions. And he knew that, you know, would be an issue probably with the planning. And he's more of the kind of person that is like, makes a decision. So he says, we keep thinking about the same 2 to 3 venues and have not made a decision. And since the wedding planner doesn't have a strong input either, it makes things a bit more challenging.
Okay.
So this is where this was interesting because I feel like this a lot. And it's always in the beginning, right, Christy? Like you have a couple and they don't have a date and they don't have a venue and you present things to them and you try to talk through, but they keep like second guessing things. And it is, depending on a personality type, hard to get. And this was actually, I'm going to just say it. This was a second one on my list. Christy is make decisions. And we've talked about that before.
Okay.
So communication is absolutely imperative. And I wrote back to Alvaro and I said, listen, you need to communicate with her. You need to say, hey, fiance has trouble making decisions. I, on the other hand, like to make decisions in a timely fashion. We need you to help push us. Right?
Yeah.
Do you think
but
so?
But I mean, if she's a full planner and they've been circling around 3 venues, then a full planner if I were the planner, I would have walkthroughs scheduled at those 3 venues with them ASAP, because the venue and the date, I mean, it's kind of like, how does she even know she's available to be their planner if they don't have a date nailed down? That would be, yes, she should. I think, yes, she should be helping you if you need to ask explicitly and directly for that kind of help. But it should be the planner that is giving you deadlines to do stuff by,
exactly.
Not you giving the planner deadlines.
Deadlines, yeah. Right. So communicate with her and ask her to give you deadlines. So this is exactly what happened with me and my couple I'm working with for next year. They're getting married in a private home, so they can have really whatever date they want. And that's posing a problem because they keep like, well, there's a holiday this weekend and then it's his birthday and then it's, you know, Anna, blah, blah, blah. And I said to them last weekend, okay, guys, here's your job. By Saturday, you must have a first and a second choice date for me. That's your deadline. You must. And so that's what we're going on.
Yeah.
And my deadline was to have their planning timeline ready, up and running for them.
Right.
So it's absolutely necessary to have these deadlines in the planning process or else nothing will happen.
Yes.
So communication is super important between the clients and the planner. And if that is lacking, you're not going to get anything accomplished.
Yeah.
You have to be upfront and honest.
With deadlines like that and communicating like that, you have to have a big picture timeline with deadlines, and then you have to be able to zoom in. And it's a planner's job to let you know like when you need to zoom in. I'm working with a couple that their wedding's not until next May, but they want to make a lot of like the fun designy kind of decisions, and they're ready to get on board with that. But I'm pulling at the reins a little bit to be like, no, don't run off on how many candelabras you're going to buy at vintage stores yet. You need by the end of July, so that's a more wide view. That's they have five, six weeks. By the end of July, we need caterer, cake baker, and florist hired. And then we can zoom in a little bit more. So that's a pretty wide deadline, but you know, maybe one of these days I'm gonna be at the point that you're at, which is like, okay, by Saturday, you need these things done because we are going around and around the same couple of vendors and it's time to hit it.
Because we cannot book a solidify a vendor if we don't have a date. I'm sorry. You can't.
Yeah.
Especially when it's in the peak wedding season in a year out.
Right.
Like we got to get all the good vendors. So communication. And then my second one, sorry, I went ahead, is decisions.
Yes. And I think, and my next one is a piggyback on that. I just wrote and I was like jotting these down. If you find what you're looking for, stop looking. That's kind of advice in general life advice. But here's a wedding planner's job. In a lot of ways, we are your temporary, we are like your contracted fairy godmother for a certain amount of time. For a certain amount of time, you have somebody to be like, what I want is outdoor, indoor. I want farm tables and I want barn doors and I want parking available and I want it to be in June. And it's like when you buy a house, you give your realtor all these desires. And then me, the wedding planner, I go out and I wave my magic wand and I research and I find and I mine. And then I present you maybe with five venues. Three of them check all your boxes. Two of them don't necessarily check all your boxes, but I want you to look because maybe you're going to like this other thing, whatever. You see where I'm going with this. The problem is some people, they ask me for something. It might have 20 checks on it that they want. We're not going to book a venue unless it has these 20 things. If I then, after much work, find you that thing that has those 20 things and you go, oh my God, it has everything we want and it's in our budget and it's available. We love it. Book it. Do not say, but we want to look a little more. Because the problem is that can go on and you can go on to Pinterest and you can fall down a black hole and you can resurface and your head is going to be between your legs. You're not going to know which way is up. And it's going to be like, I thought I wanted a rustic farmhouse. And now I think I want a ballroom with a Cinderella staircase. And you'll mess yourself up. And it's a way to simplify decision-making for your whole life. Yes, be specific about what you want. Yes, aim high. But also when you find it, say yes and turn the page. Leave the chapter. You found what you wanted. Let's do it. Just like you found who you wanted to marry. You found them.
Yeah.
You're getting married. You're not going to be like, I think I want another 2 years just to see if there's anyone better out there.
See if there's anyone better. Yeah.
So with
better teeth, you know.
To piggyback on decisions, like be realistic, all that stuff, budget, know what you want. But once you find it, please stop looking. Just let it be like, this is so great. Let's move on.
Very good.
And then
good, good.
The others of mine are, well, I have one more that's a planning process thing. And then the other two I have are like day of things. Okay. Do you have any more like when working during the planning process stuff?
Yeah.
Okay, go for it.
Oh, I have two. Oh, which one is better? Well, when budget, when you're working with budget.
Okay.
Okay. So there's always one of the two partners, right, that are getting married that is a little more budget conscious than the other, it seems to me.
I agree.
And it's like, you know, it's interesting that you used this scenario of like when you're buying a house. So I watch a lot of House Hunters on HGTV, and I see so many similarities in buying a home with planning a wedding. There's, you know, your list of what you want. And then there's, you know, compromise, which was another one I feel like is a big one. But then there's budget. 9 times out of 10, they always end up going with the little bit more expensive house that's a little bit out of budget most of the time. And I think that what the ideal scenario here is, instead of having one hard number when you have a budget, is to have a range, is to have a nice range. And you might tell your planner, okay, my budget is, I'm going to say $40,000. And that's what I want in my budget spreadsheet. However, I will consider going up to 55, but I really don't want to. And I don't even want to see that number right now. But just know, I just know, and I'm prepared in my mind, it could happen. And I think that that makes sense because you might find your ideal venue and like it's your dream and you know, like without a shadow of a doubt, you want that wedding there, but it's a little outside of your budget. And yes, perhaps you can compromise in other areas, right? There's some flexibility, but just know that with the budget, you need to have, you know, kind of this mindset that I might go a little bit over, and if I do, that's okay, but make sure you have the funds for it. So budget is a tricky, tricky thing, and it's like the guest list. Like, and we've done a whole show dedicated to budget and guest list. Go back and listen if you haven't. But budget, 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 it's important, and you want to stick to it as best you can, but just in the back of your head, have some, you know, ease in knowing, you know, that you have a little flexibility and you're not going to freak out if you go a little over budget.
Yes, very good. It's so funny how we know, like, going into it, you know, one of the two partners is always going to fall into these camps that we kind of...
It's like they it's funny because they play the good cop, bad cop with you. Mm-hmm. And you're kind of like, it's not my money.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I'm not,
yeah.
Like, you don't have to convince me, but they're really kind of doing that with each other.
Yeah. I totally agree. So I have one that I was going to comment when you said communication, and you always want to like communicate, stay open, say what you want, say what you need with your wedding planner. We're talking about between you and your planner. Especially if your planner is full planning, you are paying for that person to hold your hand for however many months it is. So that is what the job is. I wrote down, that planners don't have to be privy to your entire decision-making process. Sometimes we just need to know the final decision. And I'm coming to that conclusion after working with a couple of clients in the past year who were great clients, but who I think it was a way to hold themselves accountable. I think it was like, if we put this in writing in an email, then it means we're doing this together. But I was only hired as month of. So the general thing for month of is like, in my case, usually it's like 8 to 9 months out, somebody hires me for their wedding in 8 to 9 months. And the contract states like, yes, you've got me, you've paid your retainer. Here's everything I'm going to do for you. I will start. We will jump in, I say, at this 6-week mark. So it's kind of month of plus.
That's
yeah.
More than month
and,
of.
And here's what we'll do at 6 weeks. And then here's what we'll do by the time it's 3 weeks out. And, you know, I break it all down. But what happens for that 6 months that they've booked me, but I'm not technically starting my job until 6 weeks out because you booked me for month of. So sometimes I get a lot of like, hey, just so you know, we're thinking about going with this photographer, but we're definitely still want barbecue. What do you think about an ice cream truck? Okay. So, you know, there's a little blurry line when it's a month of person, but what I'm trying to say is if you're just like musing about something, and if you and your partner are just like throwing stuff against a wall and kind of seeing what sticks, your wedding planner doesn't have to be a part of all of that when all I really need to know, maybe in this case, is who your caterer is. I don't necessarily have to know all the reasons why you're going back and forth between these two caterers. So it's just know what kind of planner you're hiring and what kind of contract you have with them. Because Beth Albright, when we had her on the show, and she's a catering manager, so she would be your main catering contact. She said the same thing. She's like, I have weddings every weekend, so I am kind of focused on the next wedding because that's the one that has food being ordered. When I get 16 emails from one couple being like, okay, we definitely want the mushrooms. And then the next email is like, scratch the mushrooms. We decided to go with blah, blah, blah. And she gets 16 emails going back and forth about their decision. When it's not, she hasn't even sent them an email saying like, I definitely need to know what apps you want. So sometimes there's things that you and your partner and maybe your parents or whoever are going back and forth about. Just know that like, go back and forth as long as you need to, but until somebody that you've hired, a professional, is saying like, I need that decision now, they maybe don't need to know all of your thinking going into it.
Yeah, maybe you keep a running list with your decisions yourself, and then that's what I like people
especially
to do.
Especially
like,
for
just
month
keep
of.
A list, and then when I come to you and say, or when the DJ says, okay, it's time to fill out your song.
Everyone's going
to
have a time that they want the information. Just hold on to it until
but
then.
But they don't need it before because it might screw things up.
Because you might change your mind, and chances are you're going to change your mind because you didn't take my advice a minute ago when I said, once you've decided on something that you love, just move on. So of course you're changing your mind. You might be spending $50,000 on this wedding. So you have the right to go back and forth, and it's life and we're human. Everybody, you know, we've got a lot going on. But vendors are going to have deadlines when they need actual decisions by. So hold on to them until then.
Yes.
Okay.
Is it my turn? Okay. So I cheated a little bit because I reached out to Catherine and Camille, my friends here in San Francisco. Catherine owns Dream A Little Dream Events. Her and I started our businesses pretty much around the same time. We were part of a big wedding, Fab Five wedding planning group. And her and I still hang out. And she has Camille working for her. And they're both fantastic. They do a lot of weddings, beautiful weddings here in San Francisco. And I'm like, what do you want people to know? What are your top five things? And actually, Camille gave me one that is a big, big, big one that I think about a lot. And this is going to the wedding day now, okay? We are fast forwarding, boom, to the wedding day. You've done so much work.
Excellent.
It's been so much. There's so much going on. There has been so much going on with your guest list, right? Guest list is tricky. Guest list is tricky. But let's talk about seating assignments, okay? And let's talk about how we display our seating assignments. There's escort cards.
Yep.
There's place cards.
Charts.
There's charts, okay? So inevitably, you have done all this work and you have figured out either at what table people are sitting at, you know, or you've even gone crazy steps forward and you've actually identified what seat at each table people are sitting at, which is really a lot. And inevitably, at the very last minute, a day before.
What do you mean? After your chart has been printed?
After that beautiful chart that you pinned on your Pinterest board that you want for your wedding, and you found somebody on Etsy, and you paid for that shit, because you knew, you just fell in love yeah. with it. And all of a sudden, Jeremy tells you that his date is not coming. And actually, his flight got canceled. And so all of a sudden, there's these last minute changes. And what happens now? You just got that big, huge framed mirror with someone handwriting everything on it. And you have to switch tables now for, you know, your cousin, because, you know, she's coming now and you have to add her, blah, blah. Okay, there's always something. You can never anticipate if somebody's going to get sick, have a family emergency, or just plain be a jerk and not show up, says Camille of Dream a Little Dream Events. And it's true, you guys. So there's Pinterest and there's reality. And this can go for more than just escort cards, right? Or seating assignments. So just know that things like this are going to happen. And, you know, it's okay. If you had somebody handwrite on that mirror and there's no changing it, because you're not going to scratch it out, just tell your mm-hmm. wedding planner. That's part of the reason you have a month of coordinator. We're going to have a list in our yeah. hands of an Excel spreadsheet, and it's going to be sorted in 75 different ways. And
yes, you do not have to change the chart. No.
Yeah. You know how many, I mean, every wedding day I get a text. Michelle, oh my gosh. Okay. So my cousin is not coming anymore, or da 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 da. And I'm like, it's cool, man. Just let me know. And my assistant and I, we got it. Just anticipate that there's going to be changes at the last minute. The easiest thing to do is escort cards, individually printed or written out escort cards that I can easily pull the person that's not coming, rewrite something, right. and put it in. But that doesn't always work. If you've got an outdoor wedding and there's wind, those escort yeah. cards are not going to work like that.
More than 200 guests, honestly, escort cards are time consuming, and guests, like, they sort of bottleneck at the escort card table to find their card and looking, and just, I mean, if you have a very big party, then you need to maybe do a giant chart, maybe do two, so that on, you know, separate sides of the cocktail hour, people can look and see what table they're at. Just think about, you know, the fact that cocktail hour is usually 45 minutes to an hour of the day. People are drinking and having fun and standing around. So think about the actual physical capabilities of that with having a chart or an escort card table or other creative ways. You have an escort card tree, or you have people passing around champagne with guest names on it. I mean, there's all kinds of things you might want to do.
I mean, if you can do a graphic off of a computer that you literally, like, you know, use a projector to project the image on a wall, that would be so much easier to change. Things like that. But listen, just know that even down on to the wedding day itself, there are going to be some changes, and that's okay.
Okay. Yes. Good. Good on that one. So my next two are also wedding day stuff. Well, this one's like, it happens on the wedding day, but it's something to plan for. Buffer time. There's two parts of the day and one element of the day that always, when I'm looking at my timeline, I take a deep breath and figure out how best to put buffer time on either end. And that is hair and makeup, especially if you're doing multiple stylists. Hair and makeup, 99.9% of the time, takes longer than the hair and makeup artist says it will take. That is because they're having to give an estimate. It's a wedding day. Things happen. And if the bride doesn't look perfect, or the bridesmaids or women that are involved, or whoever's getting their hair and makeup done doesn't look perfect, they stay a little bit longer. And these people are artists, and they can't be rushed. And don't you put your timeline constraints on me, wedding planner. I am a lash expert. And I'm gonna do this till it's perfect. So you gotta have buffer time, meaning do not expect your reveal or your pre-ceremony photos to happen the minute after you have the stylist scheduled to leave, because it eats into your photo time. And then everybody's like running around like a chicken with their head cut off. Like, what do we do? How do we move this around? When are we going to get these photos if we can't do them now? And, you know, your last bridesmaid doesn't get her hair done because she has got to be in pictures, and it's like, you know, go time. It is a stressful, rushed time of the day. Nobody wants that on their wedding day. You don't want stress and rush. So plan accordingly.
No stress and rush.
Plan accordingly for that. Buffer time after hair and makeup. And yes, if you're thinking to yourself, well, shit, I have 10 women that want stuff done. Does this mean I have to start the first one at 6:30? Yeah, you do. You do have to start that person at 6:30. So have them draw straws and figure out which one of them has to keep her curls set for the next 6 hours, because it's just logistics. That is one of the times. The other time that feels crunchy to me as your planner is the post-ceremony formals, which is why we're big proponents of the reveal and the first look, so that you can get a lot of these photos done first. But one thing that almost always goes over time is photos after the ceremony, whether that's family formals, all your wedding party, or we want 45 minutes to walk through the woods with our photographer at sunset. And we want that to be the time of the day where we get all the pictures of us together. Great. That sounds good. It sounds beautiful. You're going to love those pictures. You want 45 minutes? Let's plan for 60, because that's how long it's going to take and for you to get back. So that's your whole cocktail hour. Are you happy missing that? You're good with it? Sure, that's the plan. I'm not saying any of this is not doable. I'm just saying, if you are planning your wedding right now, whether you have a planner or not, look at your timeline and add 20 minutes to the end of hair and makeup and the end of post-ceremony photos. And also, the other, it's not like a red flag element, but the other like element of the day that I always feel a little bit nervous about as your wedding planner is shuttle runs. When they have to do more than one loop, even if it seems fairly simple. The Holiday Inn is 20 minutes away. The Hampton Inn is on the way to the venue. They're going to do one circle, and then they're going to go back and do another circle and pick up the guests who are straggling. That is a crunchy time for a wedding planner, just because we are not in control and we're not in the shuttle and we cannot control things magically like traffic and car accidents and how long it takes your Aunt Sally to get from her hotel room to the door of the shuttle. So just know that the more information that you can provide your planner and the more planning that goes into transportation, the better.
I feel like we might need to do an episode on transportation.
We definitely should. And I have the perfect person to talk to, actually, because, yeah, she was a guest at my last wedding, but she is like the main office manager of this New York-based transportation company. And she has the best New York accent and is like just – she's straight out of a movie. But, yes, she knew.
Can you email her?
I will definitely, yes. Yeah. She knew when we were – because she was the bride's aunt. So she was like, I'm taking care of transportation for you. I'll send you the driver's cell phone numbers the day of, but you don't need to do anything. You don't even need to make a confirmation call.
And if she's in New York, that's great, because there's traffic. Talk about buffers.
Yes. Yeah. And she works for a company that has like limos, town cars, 30-person shuttles, 50-person shuttles.
Buses.
So just know that like as a wedding planner, transportation is probably my least favorite thing to deal with.
Especially when, like, I've got a wedding coming up next year. This one at the private home. We're going to have to shuttle people from a location to the ceremony. Yes. And so you have to have, in the beginning, you have to have more than one bus, you guys. You have to, because if not, your ceremony is going to start like an hour late.
Yeah,
I mean,
or
it really is.
You're asking half your guests to get there 60 minutes early, and you're asking the other half to get there 1 minute early.
Yeah, it's like, what do you do with those people? What do they do?
What do you do?
You can't – it has to be heavy on the front end, the number of vehicles you have.
Yes, and you can't plan too much. The moral of the story here is we Okay. If you need, if you book a venue and you're like, we're going to need transportation, know going into that, that it's going to be a little bit of a headache and it's going to take some logistics and you have to stay organized. Totally doable. But as a wedding planner, and this, again, we told you this was like circle of trust. This is just me being honest. If you're going to hire me and you're like, oh, and we chose this venue, and let's say it's a venue that I'm familiar with, and I know that it's easy to get to via Uber, and it has a giant parking lot, and it's in a place with like where traffic isn't horrible all the time, I get so excited because I know, thank God, I don't have to deal with huge shuttle buses and two rounds of pickups. And it's just a lot. That's just me being, that's some honesty for
you. That's Christy being Christy.
Okay. So that was one of them. The buffer for hair and makeup, buffer for ceremony, formals, and shuttle transportation. There's a lot of variables going into that.
All right. So I'm going to piggyback off of your buffer for hair and makeup on one other one that Catherine from Dream a Little Dream sent to me. And then I'm going to say what mine is, and then that'll be it for me. Have your hair and makeup person on the wedding day stay past the ceremony for your post-ceremony photos, okay? Mm-hmm. Especially if you're getting in the married in the summer, especially if it's outside,
especially if you're doing
a wardrobe change.
Those 45 minutes of lovey-dovey photos between the two of you.
Refresh your face and your hair. Before you walk into that, you know, reception space and before you start those photos, because what you get done in the morning for hair and makeup and then that person or those people leave, hair comes out, you know, you depending on what you're doing. I mean, there's always some shininess. You always need a touch up. We were crying, whatever it is. Just try to spend a little more money. Ask your hair and makeup artist in the beginning when you're doing research, how much extra would you charge to stay, you know, until this time or to come back and do a touch up for me? Mm-hmm. Okay. Ask that. Okay. So that's from Catherine Calabocas, Dream a Little Dream here in San Francisco. Okay. That was a quickie. That was just an extra one. Sorry.
Totally,
okay. And here's mine. It's so important. Please don't, you know, skip over this part because you think it's, you know, the yogi coming out in me. Please, please, not only on the wedding day, I mean, super important on the wedding day, but throughout this planning process, chill, have fun, let go a little. Embrace every moment that you can. If there's ever a time to practice mindfulness in your life, it is now, okay? Slow down. Even right now, just take a nice cleansing breath in, fill your lungs, hold it for a couple seconds, and then let it all out, because that moment just passed. And this planning process, even though at times it's like so stressful, it is something you need to embrace and experience and remember, because it will be gone before you know it. And so will that wedding day. My most important piece of advice to you.
Very good. Things Michelle, the planner, wishes her clients did or knew or looked into or considered or willing to do with her on the day of in the morning.
Breathe with me. Let's do a little yoga.
Okay. Well, my last one is my favorite one, and it's my sassiest, and it's in my mind from some recent weddings that I've done or that I've assisted with, and that is, and this is, I'm going to call them bridesmaids because that's who the group always is. I always have a great rapport with my clients by the wedding day, even when I haven't actually met them face to face or spent that much time with them. We've talked a lot on the phone. We've texted. They know my tone. They know my personality and my sense of humor, you know, and that they also know, most importantly, that I've taken care of them and they feel really comfortable in my hands, you know. Sometimes I feel like my couples don't share that information enough with their wedding parties. Like, we have this planner. We totally love her. She's going to be here soon. Cause I always like come in for, you know, during hair and makeup to give out the flowers or to say hi or to go over some things. Or I meet everyone in your wedding party at the rehearsal. But yeah. Sometimes I don't, or like people fly in late. You know, there's always different things happening. But I've worked with a couple brides that I love my bride, and I end the wedding feeling like, huh, I really love that bride. And I feel like in real life, IRL, we would be friends, like real friends.
Yes.
But those bridesmaids were fucking rude and bitchy and acted like I was A, bothering them, or B, like I was
taking their friend
to be like looked down upon. Oh, almost.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, they're just like, who is this person in here while we're all in our robes getting ready? Like, who is she to tell me to move my whatever so she can take a picture? Just like, I never come in swinging like, hey, everyone, it's me. Get against the wall so I can inspect your hair and makeup. Like, and at rehearsals, when I can meet everyone, I'm, you know, very friendly. The whole point is like, I am accessible to all of you. Here is my cell phone number. Please keep me in the loop. Make sure that the bride and groom and the groom and groom and the bride and bride have water tomorrow. And like, we are a team. And this is when I need you at the house. And this is when I need you at the venue. And the last thing I'm going to ask you guys to do is hold for me during cocktails so that I can have the DJ introduce you. I give everybody the full rundown. I am, everybody should be happy that I'm there to run the show, because it means that you all in the wedding party get to just enjoy yourselves. You know, if there was no wedding planner, one of you would have to be like, oh shit, where are we supposed to be? How? Oh yeah. Everybody, come on, get in the trolley. We got to go to the thing. So it irks me a little bit as a wedding planner when wedding party, when women in the wedding party, and this is just the way it's been so far, are like dismissive of me or straight up rude to me. And I feel like it's my couple's job to mitigate that a little bit. Like, you hired me, you brought me into your inner circle. Remember, I'm your fairy godmother. Remember all the good times that we've had. Don't let your people treat me like shit. Don't let your parents, after they're drunk at the end of the night, scream at me about where your mom lost her shoes, or why the taxi for grandma is taking so long. Like, I guess like it's a mutual relationship, client and wedding planner. It's a sacred mutual bond that has an expiration date. And that expiration date is the stroke of midnight on your wedding day. So every client I've worked with has been lovely to me. And we have a great rapport. They are lifelong people for the most part in my life. But I've definitely had some bitchy bridesmaids. I've had some handsy groomsmen. And ugh. I've had some very, very rude, entitled, just like, you know, it's like when you see somebody treating a waitress at a restaurant like shit. To me, that person's stock goes down 100% once I see that. Cause I'm like, if you're the kind of person that's mean to a waiter, then I think you kick dogs on your free time, and you're the type of person that would be an asshole to a wedding planner who is working her butt off to try to make this day as smooth and wonderful for everyone. So I guess I wanted to put that in there because it's not the clients that I have ever been mistreated by. It's your people.
Yes.
And it's a little bit disappointing when that happens. Cause I'm not going to go up to the bride on her wedding day and be like, just so you know, your best friends in the world are being real assholes to me.
No, I would never do that.
You just take it. But I wish more wedding party members, you know, saw the whole process with a little bit you know, Jesus, take the wheel. Like, just enjoy yourself. Just enjoy yourself on the wedding day. And the way to enjoy yourself the most is by doing what the wedding planner asks or says or has planned, and not being rude.
You know, I've actually, my assistants on the wedding day, it's all very often they come to me and are like, these people are being such jerks to me.
I remember when, like, I was your assistant and I said that.
Yeah. Right. And oftentimes they're super nice to me as the planner, but they're assholes to my assistants. And I'm always like, why do they do that? And, you know, the other thing, going back to certain members of the wedding party being jerks to me, the wedding planner, I think you never know. It goes back to this tale. You never know what's going on in somebody's life. And they may have had some snafus along this wedding planning process with one of the people in the couple, or, you know, maybe their relationship has been strained, or maybe they're like, who is this girl thinking she's my best friend's best friend, you know, just because they've been working together for 6 months and there's some jealousy.
I know how to bustle a dress. I know what her favorite song is.
Yeah. Like, I know. Okay. I know. All right. I know exactly what's going on. We talk on the phone every day. Like, nobody's trying to come in and take your best friend from you, believe me, okay? And then, or the parents. The parents might be very stressed out. The parents might be going through tough times, you know? And for some reason, and obviously the wedding day itself is just so, so highly emotional for everyone. And unfortunately, sometimes we take the butt of it. And it's part of, it comes with the territory, man.
Yes, I totally get that. And of course, but, on the wedding days, I'm never confrontational. I mean, you know.
No.
But I.
No, you're not.
In my experience, I said, it surprises me when the bride is like this, I think, like super cool, easy, like fun person. And it's not, when it's happened, it's, if it rains, it pours. When it's happened, it's not like, because it's happened twice that I can think of, like explicitly in my head, where the group of bridesmaids, it was like the group. I would enter the room and it felt like the radio would just go, and everyone looks at me and it's like, wow, these six women in purple dresses or, you know, whatever, like they are not happy with me being in here. It wasn't, if it's one, it's the whole group. And then it would really surprise me because I'm like, this bride is so lovely. How can her party of women be like,
it's territorial. Yeah,
so it gets, but then, you know, the flip side is sometimes there, I walk in and it's like, hey, you know, and which that's most times where you're in there just like, how is everyone? Do you have this? I'll see you guys down there in an hour. Like, you look great. I'm in, I do what I need to do and I go, and there's not even a second thought.
That's just part of us too. Like, part of being a wedding planner, we not only have to have all these, like, we're looking at our list, we've got this deadline, we've got the, but then we have to go in and be like, oh my God, Chelsea, you look so cute. Or did you make that? Or, oh my gosh, I heard about last night. Was that not crazy? Like, you need to go in and make that small talk to make that connection while your assistant is in your ear going, oh my God, get down here, get down here, get down here.
Right. We can't ever look stressed out. That is our job.
No.
And that's why really good wedding planners are really good wedding planners. It's multitasking. There's just some skills that, I mean, there's some personality traits combined with some skills that most good wedding planners have. And that's just the truth. I mean, that's why we're drawn to this profession. And it's why we're good at our jobs and why we continue to get enough out of it that we want to keep doing it. So that was your list of 10 plus things that wedding planners wish you knew, you did, you thought of as clients. So remember, circle of trust, wedding planner client relationship, very important. And once your wedding's done and we're out of your life, you're going to miss us.
You're going to miss us. You're going to be like looking at us on Facebook, or we're going to be looking at you on Facebook. Yeah. Hey, that was awesome.
Yeah, good one.
The Fig Wedding Planning Podcast is hosted and produced by me, Christy Matthews, and Michelle Martinez. It is edited by Veronica Gruba. Music by Steph Altman of Mophonics. If you like the Fig Wedding Planning Podcast, please subscribe. We are available for free on pretty much all podcast player apps. Help us get the word out by rating and reviewing us on Apple Podcasts.
follow us on Instagram at The Big Wedding Planning Podcast, and be sure to use the hashtag #PlanThatWedding when posting. Become part of our Facebook group. Join us and our amazing members. Just search The Big Wedding Planning Podcast Community on Facebook. If you want to get in touch with us, you can email us at thebigweddingplanningpodcast@gmail.com, or you can call and leave us a voicemail at 415-723-1625, and you might hear your voice on a future episode. That is it. Happy planning, everybody. Christy, love you, love your show.
Bye.